Hello, everyone, and welcome again to the Blind Bargains Cast. I am Joe, and hey, JJ, how are you doing, sir? It's episode 97.
We're running out of numbers with meanings.
I know. I looked a little bit on the internet. I was like, is that old number 97? No,
the that's stretching. The card number of Kurt Busch.
Oh.
When he won the Nextel Cup in 2004.
Yep, that
wasn't there. Wasn't that one of the things? Remember back in the day, the 1-800-97-JENNY, or was that a different year? They kept changing the phone number.
8675309.
That's different. No, not that Jenny. Okay. I'm talking about Jenny.
94, Craig. 94, not 97.
But they kept updating the They kept changing the phone number for over the years. Mm-hmm.
Right here by your side, and we're for real. 1-800-94-JENNY.
Is that 1-800 cars for kids? No,
that's
not it either.
That's 877 cars for kids.
Well, I tried. There we go. Well, that's the kind of repartee you get after 97 episodes. What can I say? You know, but there's other stuff to come up here on good old 97. I could think of, well, a quick price check demo I might do on the old ID Made Galaxy, because there's been an update, so that won't take long, but that's nowhere near this entire episode. If you're looking at the running time and go, well, that won't take long, you're right, it won't. Mm-mm. There's other stuff, too.
There is other stuff. You might remember last week on 96 Tears. Did you see the 96 Tears reference? That was the title. You can tell when Joe does the titles and I do them, because Joe will take like 8 different topics and combine them into a title, and I would just kind of go off the deep end. Well, this they kind of both go, they both go off the deep end in different ways.
I would say equally, yes.
In different ways. I do really bad puns and things. Part 2 of our interview with David Pinto from Yes Accessible. Yes Accessible. That's how you say that. On there you go. The typability software and a submitted tip from Stephen Clower on Mac.
Always love people who send in content.
And copying terminal to clipboard. This confused me for a second, because this is copying terminal to stuff to the clipboard in the Mac. I'm like, we did terminal clip. Oh, that was a HIMSS feature. Terminal clipboard. different thing entirely.
Yeah.
So I had to look that up.
Hey. You mentioned HIMSS.
I did.
They just so happen to be the sponsor of this particular episode. You might want to run off over to HIMSS Inc. right now and check on the new Polaris. And if you hadn't already, flip on back to March. Listen to the beginning of March and you'll hear Dave and I rapping about the Polaris and also the live debut of the Polaris right from sunny San Diego. That's available there in the feed.
They're over at HIMSS-INC.com. HIMSS Lifestyle Innovation.
Well, let's see. That was about as creative as we can get this late on a night of recording. Yeah. But I could say that if you had the Windows Creators update for Windows 10, you might actually be a little bit better at doing some creation yourself with the game mode, HoloLens support, and all sorts of other things. Oh, wait a minute. I almost forgot. It has Braille. Braille with narrator. Oh, man.
And probably our listeners care way more about the Braille than...
I would say any
support.
Of that other stuff. Well, yeah. new Most voices. There's some new voices in narrator.
Depending on the vision.
Those are kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Braille support is in 10. And we've talked about this a little bit before, but we haven't had a chance to do the deep dive. So we sent our Braille export.
We exported our Braille expert.
Scott Davert had him do some testing on Braille. We tested it with the Vario Ultra and the Refresher Braille. And I played with a little bit with the Smart Beetle. And... kind of mixed results. It is a beta, so there's still work to be done.
They want a few different feedback, things, by the way.
Definitely, and we definitely sent this post that's over on blindbargains.com over to Microsoft, and they said they share with their people. They're very active on Twitter now, which is awesome. You know, some definite things to improve on. It has the common bug that a lot of things do. Say you type in a word, word. And then you hit a space, but you want to make it words. Okay, you hit backspace and you type in an S. And hit space. Oh, now you have words. So because it decided to expand the contraction. It's not a thing that. Other Braille programs have done this. iOS has done this in the past as well. So it's not a new thing, but definitely one needs to be fixed. The biggest one to me is if you're typing really fast, it drops characters. That definitely is a thing that needs to be fixed. But it's a beta.
Exactly.
That's why we tried it out. You could do this now too.
if you heard my conversation with Jeff Bishop and some of the Microsoft team on Main Menu a couple of months back, you'll hear about how it meant a lot to them to do things that were open source and to give back information. So this information isn't going into a black box to be seen again. It's actually giving back to the open source products that they also used.
And which, incidentally, NVDA uses a lot of that stuff, the same Rail libraries. So,
some people aren't sure where this is. They've alt-tabbed and couldn't find it within Narrator. It's actually in ease of access. So a good way to get to it is say Windows plus I, and then go down to ease of access, and then that first tab is Narrator.
Windows plus U will skip you straight to ease of access.
There is that as well.
Saved you a key.
But some people don't even know where the settings are, so that's why I usually go that way.
Gotcha.
But you can find a lot of that stuff there, too, on how to do that through the article and then finding all that stuff.
Yeah, you have to enable it first. And there is a bit of a conflict. If you're using Braille on another screen reader, you may have to. There's not an easy way, it seems, to run Braille on both without drivers conflicting, depending on your Braille display. So just take that.
That happens also for touch. So if you bring up Narrator after you have another screen reader up, you might get you need to close one program in order for
it doesn't always do, right?
Effectively with touch. And that's always fun to do, though. And I think that's kind of why I like having my Surface, is there are not a lot of people using Narrator with touch. And I use it on installs. I use it on sometimes my battery has died on my Bluetooth keyboard. I'll just reach over there and have to put in the password by touch, which is kind of interesting. And then Narrator support is fairly good for that. So a lot of amazing things coming out now, as JJ pointed out last week, and I agreed. There's already a new version of Windows, Redstone 3. Version 3 is already rolling out to Windows Insiders. So there will be another update to Windows before the end of the year, more than likely. There's a Microsoft Build conference coming up where they'll probably talk about that. Yep. Maybe even mention it at their May 2nd event, which may be a new Surface, or Windows Cloudbook is a rumor that's going around as well.
Lots of Windows news in regards to all that type of stuff. But it's not, all the news is not Windows, though. Hey, we've been talking a lot about typing, and here's the timing on this. We did not plan this, but this is just how it happened. Typing is coming to the iPhone courtesy of an APH and a very popular program, the Talking Typer on the iPhone.
You're bearing the lead. It has a game.
Oh, right. I've never played Hurry Scurry. See, I played the typing game.
I knew of it, but I never played it.
I should play it. I always played the tipping game on the Apple II. You know, that thing.
That one. Yeah, I got you. Yep, I remember that.
Yes, I'm calling it tipping game because that's how the Echo pronounced it. And, you know,
I could have used this so much when I was in vocational rehabilitation in the field to give typing tests. This would have been so valuable to take a small device than a gigantic Dell laptop into the field 17 years ago. Oh my goodness, this is
really neat. I mean, obviously it works best with a Bluetooth keyboard and really a full-size Bluetooth keyboard. Sure. Hey, we saw one of those at AT Guys, Matthias, with a numpad and everything. So and it's a $5 app, and not even $4.99. So if you have an iPhone or an iPad, especially with a keyboard, it, like they say, you could use it with the on-screen keyboard, but it's a typing game.
If you have a Bluetooth keyboard, I would probably go that way, especially if you're going to try and get speed drills, if you're going to try and really up your game with your words per minute.
Mine is too low. Apparently, I type everything. I do lots of bad habits, as David was pointing out to me as I was doing the like, you're supposed to use the right shift with capital letters on the left side of the keyboard.
That is a shame. Well, I can understand this. As a longtime Zoom text user since the days of, the 3.5 floppies, and it came in a white binder with a big red letter Z on it, and you had the disk on one side and all the loose leaf information in the middle. I have a lot of old Zoom text knowledge stuck in my head. And so therefore, when Zoom text updates, it might take a little bit for me to unlearn what I have learned. One of the good things is that the latest version of Zoom text, 11.03, doesn't add too much to the mix unless you're an international customer.
They're listing it as 11.3, not over 3. I know, it's so easy to get bogged down with the numbers and
with the minutiae. The latest version of Windows and the latest version of Zoom text.
What JAWS does makes more sense. They just say the April update. of Jaws 18, yeah. and it's, you know, instead of, you know, and that's you could dig down 18.0. Apparently, I didn't realize this, but I guess it's because, you know, certain international markets pick up on this more than others, but languages that you would think would already have been included, at least from a non-user, Hungarian, Italian, Russian, and Romanian are now included.
Some of that was available, if I'm not wrong, through Via Voice. You had to download it separately in older versions of Zoom Text, so you kind of had to go to a website and download it. It wasn't in that, unless it was the shipping.
And it takes a local dealer. If you don't have a local dealer in one of those countries to support a language, then it's probably not going to happen. So I mean, that's why, you know, I think it really took WindowEyes the longest time to get Spanish support.
That's true.
You know, so. And,
just one more for those who are playing along at home. I am, full disclaimer and full disclosure, a contracted employee of VFO Group. There we go. Moving on. There we go. Done.
You cleared your throat there.
It's wrong if I don't. So I kind of sort of have to do that. What is not wrong is the latest version of the ID Mate has a fantastic update to its barcode database. I have recently installed it prior to the podcast. It brings along such wonderful updates to places like Ben and Jerry's. That's important. Yeah, very much. But, well, Whole Foods. How about Home Depot? You could scan some things in Home Depot. That would be helpful. I would. That was the one I was holding off because I knew that was the one that was near and dear to your refrigerator.
It used to be. Schwann's has gotten rid of. See, the Schwann's update is necessary because they've replaced all of their good products with inferior ones, and they probably all have new barcodes. That's all.
Oh, wow. I haven't ordered from there long.
I can pretty much guarantee you, if you find a product for them and you fall in love with it, they will discontinue.
It's going to go. It's like Sam's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, buy a whole bunch of it and store it in a freezer because it won't be there the next time.
I love your ice cream, but, you know, I've moved on.
Bars are still there. Always the old English toffee bars.
The peanut butter cup one minis are good.
Yeah.
That's the only new thing that they've had that's good. You know, sometimes...
Anyway, so this is a free North American update. It's coming out to other regions, but for North America, you can, if you have an Omni or a Quest or a Galaxy, you can do it via Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. Also, there is a regular download link.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my brain gets sketchy when we get to the compact flashcards. So it doesn't completely.
They give you instructions, luckily. Yeah, you get, and they usually update twice a year. So
absolutely.
These are now free. They used to be paid deals back in the day.
Be sure to plug in your devices because depending on your network speed, it could take a while to download the latest database update.
Always good to see. And now it's good to look into the future. Whoa. 2018 into the future, though. Were you ready for this?
Ricky and I booked a cruise for the end of the year, and I looked at her and said, oh my goodness, we actually have something planned for December. How did that happen? We haven't even gotten through summer convention, and I have something on the calendar for December.
Sweet. I get to find guest hosts. This will be fun. We haven't even done this much.
And it won't be Ricky. She'll be on a boat with me.
Right. Oops, so, she is not yet. We talked about doing it, but we might have
Shay
to. I'm probably going to leave before December. I'll be gone before December.
A lot of pre-recorded news will be done.
You'll get that. Right, December. We'll just do news that we know is going to happen.
It's like Groundhog Day where you record all the things ahead of time. You know,
just do the news that the things that happen like every week. You know, like, yes, there's exactly. A new survey.
There's an update, survey of the week.
And there's just do the most generic, an update to Jaws.
But you say that because ATIA is actually accepting call for papers for January 2018. January 30th through February 3rd of 2018.
Wow. So we were looking at this at the end of the show off air last week. ATIA is there. CSUN is back to later March. AFB Leadership Conference is back to early April.
Hooray! No conflict there.
In Oakland, California. Mm. So two California trips in 2 weeks.
That's a city that's about to lose a football team, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, but they're gaining the AFB Leadership Conference.
I think it's a fair trade. I think that's totally fine. Considering the Raiders and their record recently, I think that's fine.
You have two.
Derek Carr. Folks. Yeah.
You have until mid-June to do your ATI call for papers. You've been involved with a bit of this.
Nothing could possibly happen in this industry before then. You'd be perfectly fine.
That was my question. With these type of conferences, CSUN's a little bit closer, but they still do theirs in the fall. it's hard sometimes to plan what is your company or what do you want to share next January.
Well, look at all those guidelines that totally got approved right before CSUN. So Section 508 was, I always get them confused, 504 and 508. But the guidelines were approved. And so I can hear hundreds of mouse clicks right now on PowerPoint presentations.
Stick with your really generic descriptions.
Yes, exactly. Brand X is fantastic for you and me.
It's the most generic session titles, you know, like how accessibility can benefit websites.
Yes, please. Hey, pray tell, how is that possible? I'm not exactly sure.
Hey, speaking of these conferences, though, if you were looking for a whole bunch of conference coverage besides ours, including the AFBLC just ended and CSUN, you might check out the April Access for All just out.
Mm-hmm. You might recognize some of those voices in those articles as well.
Or observations authors, of a newbie from Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shelly doing tech highlights. And then we thought we'd let them reprint Scott's article. So you may have seen that one before about the Edge and the View and all that. About Braille displays. And then, that's another one that kind of, look at this. Bill Holton doing a review of Matthew Ribery's book.
Which we had on this very show.
Which I've read part of. I need to finish reading the whole book because I, you know, do think it's tough.
Surprised Jamie didn't put in a review of the Cheesecake Factory. He was a very big fan.
I think it was in the original draft, and then Lee cut it out.
Okay, got cut out for time.
I'm just gonna go with that.
Perfect. Yeah. Of course, we should talk because then we have to talk about flour and barley, and I would have to talk about those lovely pancakes again. Oh, those lovely pancakes.
You know, we could solicit some nearby restaurant reviews by next March for people that are coming in because, flour and barley is totally really wrong good that pizza
I'm,
place.
I'm not going to put down my interview list. It's just going to be places of where I want to eat when we get to San
Diego. That'll be the document next year.
Totally secondary.
Instead of our list of possible interviews, it's going to be a list of new restaurants.
You can find the Blind Bargains crew at these particular restaurants or get the exhibit hall floor.
Hey, you could find some people in Germany in a couple weeks over at Site City, which is pretty much their version of CSUN, with a bigger focus on exhibits. They get a few thousand, 4,000 or 5,000 people there in a couple of weeks. Site City coming out in just a couple of weeks, and sometimes products get debuted there, including, remember the Webbox?
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah,
yes.
Solutions Radio has had this kind of like all-in-one radio appliance thing, and I believe the last time I talked to them about it was CSUN 16. But anyway, there's a third version coming of that. They're going to debut it at Site City in Germany. The biggest thing now is it's going to be portable. So it's a box that you can use. It's designed for people perhaps who are not comfortable with computers or phones, but you know, your 92-year-old grandma who wants to listen to downloaded podcasts or news items or, you know, maybe other things. That's who they target with this thing. And obviously it's doing well. It seems to be especially doing okay in Europe as opposed to over here. I'm not even sure if they have a U.S. distributor for it.
Interesting.
But it's being updated to the next version 3, and they're going to debut it in Germany. The last one, I think, was $300 or $400. I want to check on the price of that thing and see what it's going for. But I guess you're kind of competing.
Am I asking Google again to do another?
No, I don't think it's going to have that one. Okay. So I guess your closest competitor, but not. I mean, there's Dolphin Guide. That's not a good that's not a good spooderism.
That's high praise.
They have that TV box thing that came out with the CSUN. That's not focused on audio. That's focused on reading books and news, but it's kind of in that space, right?
Some of those guys actually show up at the IIA, International Audio Association Information Specialist. I think that's IIAS, the radio reading
conference.
Yeah, yes. The radio reading services, that's their organization, and that should be coming up in the next month or so. They tend to have some of those radio vendors there too, because there are some people who will kind of partner and not only provide their signal within that, but they'll also provide a wider gambit of other services that they can get. I think that's how I've met some people from alternative radios before, is at Thais, where I've spoken once or twice. So, and I'm also a board member of Houston Sight and Sound Radio, formerly Houston Taping for the Blind Radio, for those of us who are extremely old and remember that particular name. But the radio reading services, which is a really interesting thing, is a dying breed, actually, to find services that are actually providing local context. So, you know, reading the local paper or reading the local guides on, let's say, the grocery ads, or even another thing that was super popular when I worked there. I know because I accidentally didn't play them. So I had several old people call me to tell me that I didn't play them. The obituaries, which was its own 15-minute segment.
Yeah. If you don't have any other way to access that information, you know, people want to know. I mean,
that's kind of like, it makes a lot of sense. Especially if they were living by themselves, that was the only way that they knew that their friends had maybe passed. Yeah. So yeah, it was a really interesting time back then. So a lot of that stuff, you think, well, nobody would read that kind of stuff. Now it's all electronic, or I can go to the web, or I can just get a subscription. Now there are a lot of people who are new to blindness who will gravitate towards reading
and never use technology in their life.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's where the web box fits in. That's where the radio reading service is still fit in a lot of cases. If you
could I tell the tap to do something like that, or maybe the dot?
That's the dot. Yeah. Like, this sounds cool, doesn't it? Pretty much, it's a dock for the dot, a dot dock.
I'm glad you said that.
A dot dock called, I'm guessing that's Vo and not Vox.
What's up, dot dock?
VAUX. But I like the idea of this. It's pretty much a 5,000 mAh battery and better speakers. So you put your dot into this dot dock and you have a better sounding dot and a portable dot for cheaper than the tap was.
That is wild. We were doing something very similar here with Chromecast. Ricky got a JBL Charge 2. I think it's a Charge 2. But it has the ability to run something off of it. So you charge it and then it has a port like a USB port so you can connect something to it. We thought, okay, well, let's experiment with the Chromecast because it has a 3.5 that we could plug into it, has the USB. Maybe we could just stick a Chromecast audio on it and do exactly that thing. Because that's one of the downsides about a Chromecast audio is that you aren't really portable. It's kind of designed for you to connect it to a larger stereo. So we've been exploring that. The downside is that JBL app is garbage. It is an accessibility nightmare. I have had to use the video magnifier to be able to do updates with it. It sucks just as bad on Android as it does on iOS. But when you're spending $200 for a Bluetooth speaker or connected speaker, and then you find that app and it is just abysmal, that can be very off-putting. Now, the good thing is that a lot of those apps will actually let you look at them because they'll just like, I'm trying to pair, but there's nothing here to pair with. At least you can look and see if you can access the controls. But for the JBL situation, and I believe it works that way with that brand new Flip 4 because they just added it. They just had an update this week to the Flip. And there's just no way. There's just no way to access it non-visually. And that's really sad. Because I'm a huge JBL fan. I used to sell home theater, and JBL was one of my favorites. So,
a lot of the glitz, not enough for the functionality, essentially. There you can do that, Tom. We got a lot coming up.
Otherwise, puts out a lot of sound. Yeah, there is a lot still to come up. We've got definitely that second part of the interview. So, those of you who are looking to learn more about Yes Accessible with Typability. Then you want to hold on to that, and then we'll come back around and I'll talk about the price check on the ID Mate rather quickly. It really won't take that much time. Then we have a submitted
tip. Almost tip length. Yes. And almost those two tips, really.
Almost.
I mean, kind of.
And then we'll come into sound off, and then some interesting things about working and others in the last word.
Last week, we brought you part one of our interview with David Pinto. David is the founder of Yes Accessible and has been working for many years on a program called Typability, which is a Windows-based typing tutor program, which takes you back to CTEBVI near San Francisco, California, for part two of our interview with David Pinto.
Let's just quickly talk about some of the other, maybe instead of demoing, but just have you talk about just some of the other features that are available for teachers and for other people.
Dictation. So if you press F4 twice, you get
this dictation. This is the Chica dictation lesson.
And it'll work.
Level 1, things. 2, multiple punctuation mark, 3, homonyms and quotation marks, and 10, lists with line breaks and tabs.
So you can learn how to create long line breaks and tabs, but in a dictation. So here's one.
Silly questions and answers with line breaks. So, open. Not level 2. What do you call a rabbit who tells jokes? A funny bunny. One of 14. Enter.
Let's listen what it says.
Well, Barkin, this is a dictation task where you should type whatever I say. And if you make a typing mistake, do not try to correct your mistake by using your arrow keys or...
I'll interrupt it for sake of time and just press F1 and see. What do you? Okay, so I'm going to type this.
Okay.
What? Do.
Obviously, it's not speaking character by character, but words.
You call a rabbit.
And then it starts reading the next little part as you, after you type each little part.
Call a rabbit who tells jokes, ? Then press enter. Who tells jokes? A funny bunny, ! Then press escape once to hear your score.
No, I didn't get it. I'll press F1 twice.
Okay.
A funny bunny, ! Then press escape once to hear your score. Then a funny. Funny, press escape. All right, Bargain, you typed 18 words per minute and your spelling accuracy was 97%. Here's an example of one of your mistakes.
No, the function. It's fine.
And I noticed here how it was going to tell you one of your mistakes and it was.
I interrupted that. But anyway.
Can't show it all. Yeah. But that's really cool.
Okay, so there's dictation. Yep. We did F5, which is racing. And here's one more thing that's good. F6 is academic. So.
This is the pick and academic subject dialogue.
I'll interrupt and I'll just open language.
Level 2. Antonyms. To enter. Pick a quiz dialogue.
And then there's many different antonyms.
2, 1. Antonyms for enter. Antonyms. Okay. Level 1. All right, Bargain. You're going to have a lot of fun with this antonym quiz. Now, remember, the antonym of a word means the opposite of the word.
So I'm going to press F1.
Type an antonym for the word bad. An antonym for bad starts with the letter G. G-R-E-A-T.
Great.
Enter. No, but you got the first letter right. The question is,
could type an antonym answer, for the word bad.
Bargain. The first two letters of the answer are G-O. G-O-O-D. Enter. Good. And to type an antonym for the word down. U-P space.
Okay.
Enter. Oh, you're almost there. Just
okay, so there's that, escape, and it's wonderful, and if you look into it even more,
this is the pick of that.
Level 1. Geography.
Biology. Closed.
Science.
Closed. Math. Closed.
And the math is a wonderful, wonderful graded tutor. It's just wonderful.
Escape.
And
dialogue. Closed.
Finally, you got progress reports. F12 twice.
Bargain's progress report dialogue.
For your teacher, especially if they want
to. For the type ability dictation. What do you call a rabbit who tells, etc.? Accuracy equals 97%. Speed equals 18.
So the teacher can come back later and see how the student did.
Exactly.
Escape. Dialogue. Close.
Now, here's one. F11 twice. We're in preset mode. Here's teacher mode. F11 twice.
Teacher's mode. Now, pressing F3 or F4 twice quickly will allow you to run the lessons that your teacher created.
So, F3 twice.
This is the pick a teacher's lesson or task dialogue. Use your up and down arrows to move through the list of all the keyboard
instructions. So they can create their own.
Right, and I'm going to do one real fast.
Tab, right. Create new lesson button space. Pick a teacher's lesson or task dialogue. Blank.
Okay, enter new lesson title, it says. So we'll call J's.
A-Y-S space. B-R-A-I-S-N-U-S-E-E-R.
I think I said that.
You, right. Jay's Brain Buster.
Good.
Tab, enter new lesson explanation.
Optional.
Ed, M-E-N-E-T-O, space, Jay. J-A-U-M-I-L-I-A-T-E, space, A-D-L-E-E-S-S, space.
No, let's not say that.
Select small, selected. Humiliate. I-S-C-R-E-A-S-E, S-W-O-E-R, space,
I.
Q,
guaranteed.
G-A-R-A-U-N-E-E-D.
How do you spell guaranteed?
That's... Yeah, you need spelling master.
Yeah,
spell ability.
Is it G-U-A?
G-U-A-R-A-N-T-E.
I always know, U-R-A. You don't know where U-N. The U goes.
Right.
Guaranteed.
Okay. Exclaim.
Okay, and now, in between is task, or do we want space key?
Enter key radio key. Button checked.
Let's do enter. Okay.
Number of task repetitions.
Four repetitions, two repetitions,
radio. Okay. Space, type ability dialogue. Tab, create new task, space, add new lesson dialogue.
So let's, it could be a task of...
Task is a series of letters, numbers, punctuation. Task is a single word. Task is a phrase. Task is a series of key commands.
So all these different types of things that you can do.
Right. It could be a series of commands so you could teach how to work in Excel by alt control right arrow to go from cell to cell. And you can, whatever you want. So let's do just
Task is a phrase. For example, tab. Here's where you type your task of a phrase for a simple sentence. Edit.
Bingo.
Space.
Bingo.
Bingo.
Okay, that's what I want.
Tab. Okay. Button. Space. Pick a teacher's lesson or task dialogue. Add new lesson. Tab. Shift tab. Create new task. Space. Add new lesson dialogue. Create new task is a single word. For example, task is a phrase. For tab.
Now do one more.
Type your task of a phrase for a single sentence.
Nido.
Space.
Nido.
Pedo.
Okay.
Tab.
And okay.
Space. Pick a teacher's lesson.
Now I'm
tab.
Say,
okay.
Say,
slash
oh,
save lesson button.
So, you create these, or teachers create these? Can they share them with other teachers? Or
yes, they can.
Okay.
Okay. Save lesson.
Space. Type ability dialog.
Good.
Tab.
Now.
And shift. Tab. One. A lesson and typing. And two. Jay's Brain Buster. Close.
Let's go ahead and run it.
What you created? All right.
Enter. Lesson 2. Jay's Brain Buster. Meant to increase your IQ. Guaranteed. Okay, bargain. The following two words include two capitalized words. The capitalized words are bingo and wingo. Okay, now here are all the words here to type. Bingo, wingo, then press enter. That's the words. Bingo, wingo, then press enter. Type it two times, bargain.
Bingo.
Use the right shift, not left shift. With the B, type right shift. B. Alrighty then. I-N-G-O. Space. W, no, use the right shift, not left shift, with the W.
So why are always telling me to use the correct
W.
shift key?
Because if you're for typing proper typing form, right?
That's right.
See, I always do that incorrectly.
So we all
I do not have this program to yell at me.
I-N-G-O. Enter. Good. Now one last time. B-I-N-G-O. Space. W-I-N-G-O. Enter. Boom shakalaka. Okay, bargain. Here's the final task in this lesson. Alright, the following two words include one capitalized word. The capitalized word is Nido. Okay, now here are all the words here to type. Nido, pedo. Then press enter. That's the words. Nido, pedo. Then press enter. Do it two times.
Could somebody spell that if they had no idea what?
Yeah, watch. F1 tries.
Right.
You're typing the words Nido Pedo. Now type the word Nido. It's spelled capital N-E-A-T-O.
Okay, so I'll do capital N.
It's creating all this on the fly from just the little thing that you typed in.
That's right.
All these instructions are being created, and it knows what to do with it.
That's right, real time.
Yeah.
Now let me hit F1. I just hit capital N.
You're typing the words Nido Pedo. Now you're finishing the word Nido. Now type E-A-T-O.
So it's right with
E-A-T-O. It knows exactly where you're at.
Yeah, that's enter. That's right. Now one last time. N-E-A-T-O. P-E-E-T-O. Enter.
Let's listen.
Great. Just great. You finished the entire lesson. Great work, bargain. Your speed was 12 words per minute, and your accuracy was 96%. That's great accuracy, bargain. Now, for your award, I've got a joke for you.
Uh-oh.
But to hear the joke, you have to press F1. Twice
all
quickly.
Right.
That's okay. Right. Just press F.
Here we go.
What wobbles when it flies?
What wobbles
when it flies?
Jellycopter.
What? Jellycopter?
Oh.
Yeah, that's. Now, let's see what happens here. Anything else? That it?
That's a joke.
If you want to hear the joke again,
no.
Then press F1.
I do.
Quickly.
Okay,
repeat
fine.
The joke, or if you want F1, what wobbles when it flies?
I know it already. It's a
helicopter.
A
jellycopter.
A jellycopter, yeah. But listen to the laugh. There's 10 different laughs, and the kids just they want to go through the joke until they hear every different laugh.
Oh, got you.
If you want
here's one last time.
What wobbles when it flies?
A suffering audience.
A jellycopter.
Yeah, well,
somebody had fun creating those, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, right. But you're not laughing, but the kids love
it. Oh, I'm sure.
Okay.
If you want to hear the joke again.
But we don't.
No.
And to get out of type ability, you press it 3 times, escape, and that will store all the information. So next time,
the teacher can come back later.
Up, yeah.
And see what happened with the student, or different, and multiple students could use this, right, and switch back and forth.
Oh, yeah, yeah. According to your sign-in, it goes fetches your record. Now, Control-U opens up the preferences. Let's see what preferences there are.
User preferences dial. Humor young. Default mode. User likes hearing children's humor.
That was what we just heard.
Ah.
Humor adult. User prefers adult humor.
Good.
Typing experience
wait, adult humor?
Yeah, but not quite. That's the wrong way of thinking of adult.
I see.
Clean
got
your
you.
Mind. Okay, so the typing experience
typing
a lot?
Typing experience a lot. Explanations for key locations are less detailed.
So there's less explanations of exactly where things are.
Speech rate normal. Default mode. Jaws speaks at a moderate speed. Speech rate slow. Jaws speaks at a slow speed.
Speech rate, of course.
Speech rate very slow.
So
Jaws speaks at a very slow speed.
Enter.
Now, type ability speaks at a very slow speed of 43 words per minute. All right?
See, so everything is going to be pretty slow. Control U opens the user preference.
Dialogue.
There's other things, like for some people who don't have fast twitch muscles.
Double press speed normal. Default. User can double
press. For the pressing
press
of the function.
Right. So some dystonia where your muscle might not release as fast as you want. So they can go dot, dot, and it's still considered a double press.
For sure.
Yeah. And then there's all sorts of things here, but going to the end.
Has laptop partial keyboard. There may be only one enter key and one control key.
So in that case, if you're using the wrong left or right or the, you know, type ability is not going to correct you. Remember, type ability corrected you when you used the wrong shift?
It did.
Okay. Well, you can get out a one-hand typist.
One-hand typist. Student not penalized for using the wrong side.
Right, because someone just, that may be their only option.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's
escape,
the user preferences. And here's a triple escape.
See you later, alligator.
And
there it
goodbye.
Goes.
And it'll remember you when you come back up.
And there it goes. So there you go. Type ability, a little live demo here. If people want to get more information, how much does this thing cost?
It's $150. It works with JAWS, Magic, and ZoomText Fusion.
So obviously it runs on Windows, all the versions of Windows pretty much?
Yes. Yeah, except for XP and Millennium.
Okay. All the current versions of Windows it'll run with, which is cool. I'm assuming it's all speech support. No, there's no Braille support, is it?
Well, you can use a power cord Braille as input.
Okay.
But having said that, Type Ability was designed so that the first lessons are function keys, and the second lesson is a home row. There's no equivalent reason for teaching Braille that way.
Right. It's a little bit different design, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, you're not going to teach Braille letters in that order, generally speaking.
Absolutely
of course.
Not. But you can use the Braille input from using the power cord.
Of course. Are there any versions for any other operating systems? Or?
No, not at this time. We're working on a version for the Mac.
Awesome. Cool. If people want to get more information or perhaps place an order and buy it for themselves, what's the way? Is there a demo available online? Or?
Yes, a demo is available. You can download it, and it opens 15 times freely. And you just go to yesaccessible.com, www.yesaccessible. If you need to know how to spell www, let me spell it for you. Oh, sorry.
Really?
I meant yes, accessible. If you need to know, here's accessible. A-C-C-E-S-S, and not A-B-L-E. I-B-L-E, yes, accessible. A-C-C-E-S-S-I-B-L-E.
Sounds like you're creating a jingle.
.com.
Hey, it's been a lot of fun, and I'm learning more about my typing. I really appreciate you showing me this, David.
You don't need to change. You're wonderful the way you are.
Oh.
I say that to all my students.
Thanks, David. Have a good day.
Hey everyone, it's Joe here in the Blind Bargains, well, one of the Blind Bargains test kitchens, and I'm here with a little quick demo of the new price check feature that came along in March for the IDMate Galaxy. Now, I've already booted up the Galaxy, and it is ready to go. It's connected to my network. Both things need to be happening before you try this. And I'm on the IDMate scan mode now, but I'm going to hit it once, my button to change modes. All right, price check is ready to go. Now, I'm going to grab something to scan, and we will just go with this can of tuna.
Checking for online prices. Please wait. Amazon price $6.59 for product. A mole bean tuna solid white now recording water. Canned, 5 ounce.
Cool.
Continue.
All right, so it's available at Amazon.
Walmart price $1.50 for product.
And there's Walmart.
White now recording water, 5 ounce, can.
And I actually moved to that by using the down arrow key.
Amazon price $6.59 for product. Bumblebee tuna solid white now recording water, can, 5 ounce. Walmart price $1.50 for product. Solid white now recording water, 5 ounce, can.
So the thing you have to watch for on this, and it's nothing can really be done about this because it varies from, you know, retailer to retailer, is in the case of Amazon, you might actually be getting 6 or 7 or a case of 8 or a case of 10. You don't really know. In the case of Walmart, that was $1.50 probably per can. It's not perfect, but it is giving you kind of an idea of what it would be like to shop from other places if you don't like shopping at your local grocer or using something like Instacart or something like that to get food that you're looking for. Now, we'll keep going here. We'll find something else.
Checking for online prices. Please wait. Walmart price $1.98 for product. Dumpling soup, 18.5 ounce, can.
Okay, so you heard it was a soup.
Continue.
All right.
Amazon price $1.98 for product. Progresso soup, traditional, chicken and herb dumpling soup, 18.5 ounce can.
Okay. In that case, it's actually per can. So you had to listen to the description and sometimes make an edumacated guess.
Jet price $2.97 for product. Progresso traditional soup, chicken and imp.
Wow, okay.
Herb dumplings, 0.5 ounce. Walmart price $1.98 for product.
Okay, so there's Walmart again.
And herb dumpling soup, 18.5 ounce, can.
Let's go for something that isn't food. Let's see what we can do here.
Checking for online prices. Please wait. Walmart price $2.84 for product. Ziploc slider storage bags, quart, 20 CD.
Okay, so quart Ziploc bags cost that much.
Amazon price $2.84 for product. 20 count QT slider store bag.
Okay, so Amazon has those.
Jet price $3.12 for product. Ziploc slider storage bags, quart, 20 CD.
Okay, and 20 CT is how many are in that particular box, so that's how much it would cost per box. That gives you an idea of what it's like to use the new price check feature that came along in the latest ID Galaxy update. And that came along right around CSUN time. Of course, as you heard earlier in the show, there is a new database update. And to learn so much more, go over to Envision's website or contact them directly to know more about what's going on with Envision products.
Hi, Stephen Clower here with a quick tip for those of you who use the Mac terminal. The terminal application is the part of your Mac which allows you to type commands to it, and the machine in turn responds with output, all written to a single window, typically also known as a console. If you're in Windows land, this is analogous to the command prompt, or if you're like me and go way back, MS-DOS. If you have ever needed to delve into the terminal application, it was probably for a good reason. Maybe you had to do a global search and replace across multiple files. Perhaps you needed to perform some system maintenance, or you just like messing around in the terminal and like pretending that it's 1985. There is a good chance that at some point you're going to want to copy the output of a command that you issue for later review. I found that for short commands, using the built-in voiceover navigation is perfectly sufficient, but for very long-running commands, it can be tedious at best and really annoying at worst, especially if you want to keep your place. Thankfully, there's a very simple solution to this problem, and that's simply to copy the output from the terminal to the clipboard, where you can then paste that output somewhere else. On Windows, this has always been pretty tricky. So I was very surprised, and pleasantly so, that the Mac has a very intuitive command, Command Shift Up Arrow. Pressing it a second time will go to the second most recent command, and so on until you reach the beginning of the terminal history. The other nice thing is that there appears to be no practical limit as to how far you can select, or the size of a selection. To demonstrate this, I've taken the liberty to writing a script, which produces a lot of output, all of it useless, to the console. So I'm going to run that script, select it, and paste it into TextEdit, just to show you how easy this is to do. I'm currently sitting at my terminal, so I'm going to run the script, which is ./beer, and VoiceOver will begin reading its output once I press enter.
99 bottles of beer on the wall. 99 bottles of beer. You take one down. pass it around, 98 bottles of beer on the wall, 98 bottles of beer on the wall, 98 bottles
of beer.
That's
almost rhythmic.
You take one down.
Oh, except for that.
Pass it around.
So,
97 bottles.
The script is run. I just press control to silence voiceover. You get the idea. And now I will press command shift up arrow to select the output of that script.
Steven's MacBook Pro, tilde Steve dollar, slash beer. Selected.
Command C to copy that to the clipboard.
Copy.
And I have text edit already open, so I will command tab over to that.
Text edit. Untitled 4, window. Text edit activity, edit text.
And now press command V to paste.
New line.
So here we are at the end of what I pasted. I will press command up arrow to go to the top of the document.
Stevens.
And we will read that again with VOL.
Stevens MacBook Pro, tilde Steve dollar, slash beer.
Okay. Hit the down arrow just to verify that.
99 bottles of beer on the wall.
Yep, there's our song. And we'll go to the end of the document with command down arrow.
New line.
There's the new line. Up arrow should read us the last line of the script.
No more bottles of beer on the wall. Thank God. Take me to the hospital.
That is indeed the last line of the script. This was not terribly practical in terms of an example, but if you have to use the terminal on any regular basis, I think you'll quickly appreciate the ability to copy terminal output for use elsewhere. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com or tweet us at blindbargains.
Wow, lots of comments on episode 96 from lots of different people. We really do appreciate it. Starting with a demo request, actually not related, well, kind of related to 96, because I did the NutriBullet, right? With the, you know, we've done a couple food things. And Randy wants an air fryer demo. I am with him on this one. Joe, what do you guys think?
I don't think it would be a problem. We use it often. It is something that, oddly enough, so how this came about is Randy Resnick and Debbie Hazelton have a show over at ACB, and I had heard it there, and I had stayed in the back of my mind, and I'd seen other people on Twitter and Facebook talking about it. Ricky was off on having a work-related activity, so it was just me and the 14-year-old in the house, and I was trying my darndest not to pay attention to the Houston Texans. It was a Sunday game, and I just so happened to just mindlessly shop on Best Buy, and it was on sale for a ridiculous price. It's the Philips one that we have in the house. And it is the lower end one because that way you avoid any touch screens or anything crazy like that. We have used it a bunch, so I think it's definitely worth talking about. It's rather loud, so Patrick will really want to hurt us because to pick it up.
Louder than the blender?
Very interesting. You know, it's a constant fan noise.
Oh,
so
got you.
It's not like it's a jet turbine. It's not like you're at Midway or O'Hare, but you do know that you have it on. And so we might turn up the Google Home a little bit in the kitchen when we are working with the air fryer, but it's actually pretty good for doing things like chicken fingers or pot stickers or something like that. It's pretty neat, but yeah, we'll definitely slide that in. We've got a bunch to fill as far as time goes until we get to convention. But it's definitely easy to do. It can require some
record it for your cruise show. And,
yeah, there you go.
But you have to wait. That's a little.
It doesn't require oil unless you really want it to. So Ricky's done some things that have turned out really well, and then she's done some experiments that have been quite horrifying and would probably make Bill Nye very upset.
See, and I exactly wonder about those type of things that normally would need breading or et cetera. So how would that work? So well, I guess we'll have to find out then.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And it was a good buy. I think we actually use that now more than the Instant Pot. I know that's hard to believe, but I think we do.
Wow. A bunch of.
So Beth. Yes. Snow Bunny, she's written in. She didn't know, but she was a part of our April Fool's episode. So that was kind of funny because she writes us a lot. She had written in and said, how about the smart bra that JJ talked about in Last Word last week? Have TTS so that way you could yell out your vitals. You know, that actually is funny, but it also brings up that conversation about people who feel uncomfortable using Siri in public or who always carry with earbuds because they might have to do financial information. They don't want their iPhone blaring it halfway across the airport or something like that. My account number is, so you say that, but we have a Wi-Fi enabled scale in the house as well. And the great thing about having two people who use speech in the house is one might actually step on the Wi-Fi scale and then go in another room so the other doesn't hear what the TTS might say from the Wi-Fi enabled scale. Your imaginations on who and what and why, but it's actually kind of cool. It actually connects to the Fitbit, and so you can step on it in the morning.
Yeah, I'd step on it and then go to my phone with headphones or something if I had
exactly
roommates or whatever. It could be a little disconcerting.
Oh, so you drank a keg of beer last night. I heard you wait this morning.
We've linked to your open table reservation from last night. We see where you went. Oh man, it's all tying together based on your location data. We see you went through the drive through.
This is true.
Beth also mentioned we were talking about browsers and Internet Explorer, and talking about using Firefox and Chrome. She says, "I agree. I hate IE with a passion, and wants to switch. She wants to switch to Firefox or Chrome, but she uses System Access, and they've asked for support, and they're not giving them the support. System Access does not support Firefox and Chrome. So there's a few different ways I could take this, but." First of all, yes, it is a lot of work for any screen reader to support a new product, but Firefox is not a new product, nor is Chrome. It would take us Firefox especially. It's been around for about 15 years or more now, a long, long time, and Chrome a bit less than that. So given that it is one of the most popular web browsers, that Internet Explorer is pretty much going away, you really have to start questioning, is this really the screen reader that you want to be using? If it's not going to support tools that are mainstream and tools that are used by the majority of sighted users, I think it's pretty ridiculous for any screen reader to not be supporting Firefox, Chrome, and IE in 2017. And it's web browsers is one of those weird instances where it makes sense for screen readers to support multiple tools. I get screen readers that only support Office and don't support a lot of other word processors. I can understand that because there's a lot of complexity there. But the act of web browsing is the most, I'm pretty sure the most used thing done on a computer. You're always browsing to something or doing a transaction somewhere. So being able to support web browsing and web apps, if you can't do it with modern browsers, then what the hell are you doing as a screen reader? I mean, it's pretty much like the primary thing. So it's, if I were a user, I'd be pretty disturbed, and it would be enough to make me want to think about the other options. Remember, NVDA is free. And even if you use it as a backup to your other solutions, at least that gets you wider browser support. So if your current solution, and this email came out about System Access, but Narrator really supports IE and a bit of Edge at this point. So it's not entirely a System Access thing. There are others that kind of have those type of limitations in certain instances. So you have other alternatives that are free. I would start figuring out how to use them as backups. I know that can be a bit daunting sometimes if you're not used to it, but the way the web works with different websites working differently in different browsers, it behooves you to at least have that backup and that plan B. And so, if your screen reader is not capable enough of doing that, then it's time to find another solution. Wow.
And I said last week, one ring does not rule them all anymore, no. Right? Even Mac users, a good number of Mac users have, Windows installed Bootcamp, yep, or, some other form of VM so they can actually get to Windows, because there are some things that, mm-hmm, unfortunately just can't be done on the Mac.
You know what I did for the first time last week? And not during the upgrade. There was a time, I think, in the last week when I was trying to figure out something going on with Windows and NVDA wasn't reading the screen. I loaded Narrator and it worked. What? Yes. This thing's so weird.
It takes time to get used to using it. Naturally, I'm using it on the Xbox, and that was kind of the crash course in me learning some Narrator commands, because some of that works a lot easier if you just surrender the controller and use the keyboard for some things. It's still a hybrid use case. You still have to kind of use both to be able to get some things done. But having that option, having that ability, especially when compared to the PlayStation 4 that I got, and that TTS is nowhere near as good as the Xbox one. Oh my gosh, it's horrendous. Anyway, that's another show for another time. But having those alternatives, especially if they're free alternatives, or if you bought a Mac for the specific reason that you wanted to have both operating systems, I've heard that from people before. It's like, I can have the best of both worlds. And then, we tend to stay in one particular niche. So, well, that's not good, because the world these days moves incredibly fast, and top dog one day is not necessarily top dog the next, and it's just going to be a very interesting time. So having the ability to get to some of this, using it, being familiar with it, especially the free options, is a great thing.
Just a couple others that we'll run through quickly. Kenny Payot?
Yeah, Kenny wrote in, and he said that he listened to episode 96, and he loves the Windows 10 cleanup tip. And he had done the anniversary, but he had forgotten to run it to get rid of the previous version of Windows.
Those add up.
There are three or four things you could do. So when you're in disk cleanup, you can go over to the second tab and you can go over there and get rid of shadow copies. Now, there's good and bad about that. So if you do decide to do that, so you run disk cleanup. And then instead of running it right there, you can go to cleanup system files and you hit that button. Right. It'll run disk cleanup a second time.
That's what we did last week.
When you're in disk cleanup that second time, there are two tabs up at the top. So if you go to the second tab, there are two buttons there and it'll be clean up things like programs. So you can delete programs, skip that. The next one right there will let you delete like shadow copies of files and old copies of files. So if you had like a document and you were working on it, and you needed its previous history, Windows saves that automatically in best case scenarios with Office. So if I made something of a change and I needed to go back to like three versions of a document ago, there's actually, if you put focus on a Word document in documents, go to properties, you can see something called previous versions. And sometimes a lot of those, especially on older documents and you haven't done any cleanup to your Windows PC in a while, that can really slow it down because it's always, you know, going back and archiving those or going back and redoing its file associations and redrawing everything on the disk. So if you wipe those out, that can make things a lot easier too. You can even blow temp files and stuff, but then we get to some dangerous places that only some should fear to tread. Now, you used a program and some other people used a program recently on cleaning Windows. I was seeing you guys on Twitter. What was the name of that program?
Oh, you're talking about Tron. Tron is a bit of it's a pretty geeky program, but it will do the most thorough cleanup, disk check, virus check that I've ever seen. It runs for quite a few hours, but it pretty much will do everything. So if you have a computer that's just running really slow and sluggish and old and you want to try to give it new life, some people swear by it. It's a really interesting program.
Always been afraid of those ever since I ran CCleaner ages ago, and then it ate the Zoom text registry keys. So I had to actually use a system restore to get them back. So I'm always careful about using something like that or listening to other people.
It's a techie thing. It's designed. Yeah. If you are the type of person that is the one fixing everybody else's computer, that's the tool for you. Where I would target a tool like Tron for sure. Credit cards.
Interesting.
Braille credit cards, Ron Collister was asking about banks or other institutions that provide Braille credit cards.
About the passport when this came up, and I think it was just a general discussion.
I don't know if any myself, but I've never heard of a company that will actually do it. I know people that will put Braille credit card numbers. They will, you know, put a sticky on the back of their card. I've used my credit card way too much. I memorize them.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm with you on that. I know that there are very positive forward-thinking banks like Wells Fargo has had JAWS and an agreement with Freedom Scientific in the past to provide customer service of that kind of a level of nature. I don't know that it extends to that. And I think Chase did something very similar. So it really comes down to finding out about your individual bank, but it's more than likely going to be a bigger bank, one of your larger banks, because regional banks tend to be a little bit friendlier because they're smaller and they're approachable. But I've found in the past that their websites,
they don't always have the capabilities.
Yeah.
I guess. So when I get a new credit card, I often can do one of two things. I can either KNFB the front of the card, or I can read with my fingers the raised print. Now, some people are better at that than others. That'll give me the card number. The expiration date is in a much smaller print, so it's kind of hard to track. The three-digit code is on the back. So I have...
CVS.
Mm-hmm, CVC, whatever you call it, yeah. So yeah. I've have... You know,
the pharmacy is on the back. It's right there.
Yeah, right. I don't want someone to see my whole credit card number, but sometimes I'll just show them the back. Like, hey, what's the code? And get it that way. So, you know, there's different ways.
So I'm not as paranoid about this as I used to be, because if I hand my credit card off to a server, You know, they could easily,
they could also be copying,
write it down and stuff. Yeah, so I'm not as super uber paranoid about that anymore. I may hold the card in my hand and have somebody read it to me. That way, I, you know, it did leave my person or something like that.
Yeah, probably again, not Be My Eyes. Although I think I actually did use Be My Eyes to get the security code only. I wouldn't do the front.
Well, yeah, but that would make sense, right? Because some of those are designed not to be
kind
those,
of I mean, and,
photogenic.
And by the way, just on that quickly, because people, you know, they were saying that it was faster response times. Well, this was the first time I tried that in a long time. I needed to figure out where to sign a document. And somebody answered within about 30, 40 seconds this time. And we had a really good conversation. I asked him, he said he's been signed up for over a year and this was his second call.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah, I know.
I'm only hoping with dual cameras being more prevalent and the like moving forward, that kind of technology just gets easier for programs like that. Because, you know, think of the limitations of older cell phone cameras. You know, those are slowly going away. So the ability to do that. Now, I say that, and my mom helped Ricky and I with some clothing and colors, and sometimes the phone camera can lie on colors. So if you've ever wondered why that camera app that you were using, that color identifier app, doesn't work all the time, sometimes it's not the app, sometimes it's the actual camera. No stripes or solids were harmed in the making of the entourage for Ricky. But yeah, there was definitely some times where it's good to have a spotter if you can get one. We also had Stanley Luttrell. Stanley, you wrote in some stuff about CSUN. We'll get to that at some point. You had a lot of great thoughts about CSUN. We just got incredibly busy and then April Fools and everything. But he wrote in about last week and talked about a story of going to the Bay Area and Braille gift cards.
From Starbucks. Yeah. And it is a cool novelty. And some people like them. And I'm glad that you have enjoyed that. I think it's a little misleading because people think they might have the gift card number, which would be much more useful than just saying Starbucks. But hey, you know, it is a start. And at least they put some thought into it. So I don't want to totally give them heck just for at least trying. So, you know, it's cool.
Yeah. And some apps are doing QR code still, or can use the camera like, you know, Apple does for gift card codes. So you can just point it at it and just sucks it up and uses it. That's kind of cool. So I've seen that in not just Apple and not just others, but there are some other, and it just depends. You have to look at who your retailer or who your restaurant of choice is. But there's some of that where they can just point it, take a picture of it, and off it goes, which is kind of cool. And banks do that too sometimes, where, you know, take the picture of the check and you can just, you know, deposit it that way. So it really just depends how forward thinking your app maker is and what kind of services they like to provide. But I agree with you. Sometimes I've seen that with some local NFB and ACB chapters where they promote that for Christmas. So they'll go in and talk to major retailers and say, you know, it'd be really great. And we're letting people know that these gifts are available in this way. So again, that's a little bit of on the ground kind of advocacy.
And
now,
yeah, that brings
on
us to
the
this.
Ground is something that you might find yourself doing a lot when you're at home. And what do I mean by that? When you work from home, Jay, as you might know, you have a lot of time to yourself, and you had to manage that time effectively, of course. I know when I had worked with people in vocational rehabilitation and they were taking an at-home job, we had to have a conversation that it was a job. You know, you needed to get up and stay with it, to treat it like an 8-to-5 job and put on clothes and, you know, pay attention. Some people can let that get away from them.
Yeah.
And this is what could happen if you let that home part take over the work at home.
911, what's your emergency?
Hi, I work from home.
Okay, is anyone else there with you, sir?
No, I'm alone.
And when was the last time you saw someone else?
My wife. This morning, I guess.
Okay, let's go ahead and open up the blinds, okay? And let some light in.
How much light?
Just a little is fine.
I did it. It's bright. Feels so bright on my face.
That's good. That's how it's supposed to feel. I need you to tell me what you're wearing, okay?
You know, just regular clothes.
Outside clothes or inside clothes?
Well, let me check. Pajamas. I'm wearing my pajamas. I swore I changed into regular. I thought these were jeans.
It's okay, sir. Calm down.
Wait, this isn't even a shirt. It's just my skin. God.
Can we assume that you haven't showered today?
I don't know.
So that is the voice of BB-8 right there.
Mm.
Oh, actually, Saturday Night Live cast member, also Trainwreck star Bill Hader with Kristen Wiig. Screen readers love her last name. So it's former SNL cast members doing something for the New York radio, which is awesome. I think that's really funny. The whole piece, I linked to it here in the show notes. It is super funny.
It's one of the reasons, I mean, I moved up, you know, having my own place versus having roommates, because it's, mm-hmm. you know, you can't control. If you have roommates, you can only control so much about their lives without being a total mean person. So, you know, I can control a lot more about my environment here and whether, you know, when I want to be here or whatever. So it goes overboard, like especially with the kids. But,
oh, man, things can boomerang when you work at home sometimes. And it's a very slippery slope, especially if you, in one case, a couple of years ago, the entire bathroom needed to be retiled because of an issue. And so I actually had to pick up my rig and relocate to somebody else's house to do my job because you couldn't. I was like, are you going to work all day? Oh, yeah. Will I be able to hear things? He goes, you won't be able to hear yourself think because I got this, you know, gigantic pneumatic drill. <It's a> guy, I talk to people and do podcasts for a living. I better go. So sometimes that can be a bit of a problem when you decide that you have to have something done at your home. Then it becomes something really interesting. Well, that's my last word. What do you got for me, my friend?
Well, we've been talking a lot about the different smart products and different campaigns of last week led us to Indiegogo. Yeah. Well, okay. We've done enough of that.
Yeah.
I found a list, though, of the most obnoxious Kickstarter campaigns that have actually been funded. A couple of these you may remember.
This is not a BuzzFeed article, right? Seven of them are not going to kill me.
it's pretty much in the style. It's a LifeWire article.
Now, pretty close. Sorry.
You might remember some, like the potato salad.
Oh yeah, the famous guy who wanted the potato salad and had a bunch of money, and then he held a party and because he was like $55,000. That's what it was.
That you might remember. The other one I remembered from this list was Emoji Dick, which was Moby Dick written entirely in emoji.
Oh God, I knew what it was before you told me. I mean, yes, there was the natural.
Yeah. But a couple
but
of the
no, maybe. I knew what it was when you said that. And there's an emoji movie. Why must this happen?
Now, would you be
Patrick
interested?
Stewart is the voice of Smiling Pile of Poo. I'm not kidding.
Oh, in that case, I'll segue down to this one and I'll come back to this other one. Poop the Game. It's kind of like Uno.
Sure.
It's a card game, apparently, that's kind of like Uno, but deals with poop. And it made it into $4,500. You can buy it now for $10. We can talk to 64-ounce games. Maybe they'll make a braille overlay for Poop the Game.
That would be lovely. I don't think I want to touch any of your cards. I am very happy.
Well, you might want to clean up then. You could do that with meat soap. It's soap.
Oh, I actually had heard of meat soap. Yeah. And somebody said this didn't come from Japan. And I was like, oh, wow. Actually, it did not, which is very interesting.
Soap that smells.
Meat soap. For those who wore their Lady Gaga meat dress, now there is meat soap. So that way, that's like bacon perfume. That was a couple of years back, too.
What's your thought of a giant inflatable of Lionel Richie's head?
I'm not sure why that's necessary.
It's kind of it was for a UK Music Festival.
Who was it? NBC who had Lionel Richie on the New Year's Rockin' Eve or one of those. So you could have used it there.
Yeah, I'm not sure where this happened, but apparently this was at some music festival. You would go inside the inflatable head and you can answer a telephone. And then of course, you can tell me what you heard there, right? Hello.
Really? Yeah. But why can't I be dancing on his ceiling? That would have been so much better. So, all night long, I would have done that.
We'll link to this article over at the show notes at blindbargains.com. And you can read about things like the world's largest jock strap and edible cups and the other ones that we didn't talk about here. And
How are those two not related? Wait a minute. They're never mind. You know, you can find a whole bunch more of crazy stuff like I post over at twitter.com/Ranger Station, all one word, talking about the new Doctor Who that just premiered. And we really buried the lead. The biggest news this week was new Star Wars trailer. New Last Jedi.
Oh, that's right.
Star Wars trailer. Oh, so good. Oh, it was really, really good. So yeah, that happened this week. And then some accessibility news happened. But really, for the most part, it was all about the new Star Wars trailer. All Star Wars. Star Wars Celebration.
All Star Wars. Okay.
You know, there's going to be a Star Wars land in Disney. So I said this on Twitter. These are things you will read occasionally along with the great nuggets of news that can sometimes show up in the news feed here. My new addiction is watching videos about amusement park rides that have gone abandoned or that have been removed or had issues for safety concerns. And there are a whole sideline of people that are happy to tell you about secrets in Disney. And the, you know, geek in me from 1989 who actually applied at Disney totally loves this. And it's really interesting. They talk about how the Pirates of the Caribbean ride has changed over the years and what the Jaws ride was like at Universal before Diagon Alley and Harry Potter showed up. And there actually was a video of, they kept some of the pieces of the ride from Jaws and incorporated it into Harry Potter. And there was a guy walking around showing the Easter eggs of, that was, you know, these were part of the boats and now they're a part of this part of, Harry Potter. So it was really interesting. And that was like my entire weekend last weekend was watching stuff about animal parks that didn't work out at Disney and stuff. So
this mine was eating ham. Lots and lots of ham.
Yeah. I could see how that could be a thing. You were
lots of Easter
in pieces.
Lots of Easter ham. Mm-hmm. And there you go. If you want to find out the news before we talk about the news and see it aired as it's getting posted, you can go to blindbargains.com, of course, and you can go to Twitter at Blind Bargains as well. You can also email us at feedback@blindbargains.com. And of course, check out AT Guys for lots of cool tech and awesome merchandise, especially for your iPhone or Android.
Stuff
or
from Hims.
Yes, stuff from Hims is on there.
Hims. Thank you, Hims, for your wonderful support of this particular podcast and several others. You can find out about, of course, the new Polaris. It's not just a Megadeth song. You can find out about that new note taker by heading on back a month and listening to the audio from CSUN. Or by heading to the end of the month and listening to its debut. Also, there was some audio there for Go Vision and a little bit of other things that have popped up from time to time. Who knows? Dave could show up at any time. That's just the way Mr. Wilkinson is. You could hear him just walking in at any moment. He's that kind of guy. Spontaneous.
Ah. Once again, of course, you can go to hims-inc.com to learn about the Polaris. So thank you so much to him. Thanks to David Pinto for coming on with the part two of the Yes Accessible interview. Thanks to Stephen Clower for coming on with a tip. And thanks to Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick.
Fixing everything that we break.
Absolutely.
Usually a lot.
We are klutzy people. Very klutzy people. Next week, number 98. That would be no 98 degrees jokes, right?
No jokes about that? We'll see about that. I might just be in the Invisible Man. But we
gotta make jokes about 99, Agent 99, or that
lovely song. Balloons. Yeah. Next week. I'll be in
99.
Oh, that's right. I'm going to be in back over in Livonia at MAER next week as well. So if anyone's in that area, come say hi. Hi. While Joe's humming songs.
I'm sorry. I was lost on an old
80s song. Oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here.
From time to time. Yep, absolutely. Everybody have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you on episode 98.
Bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2017.